Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, come on, let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not that cold in here. It's in the fellowship hall that it's chilly. It's a good day to be here to praise God and to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us this morning. We are blessed and so thankful that you are here with us today. As we open up this time of praise and worship, if you would please stand and may you bow your heads and your hearts as we open up with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God and coming King, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your protection, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness and the kindness that you showed to us each day by blessing us with many mercies, the mercies that we so often take for granted. Forgive us, oh God, for taking you for granted, and may we just begin anew, afresh today by praising you, by worshiping you, by committing our whole heart to you, and may it start this morning. We thank you, O Lord. We commit this time of praise and worship into your care. May you be blessed, honored, and worshiped fully through it, because it, and for it. We lift this to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, you're rich in the Lord.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praise at his ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing high. Promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the loving wording I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. Promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. Promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing high, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to stand on your promises, the promises that you've given us, your holy word, Lord. Father, we ask that you be here with us and allow us to open our minds and our ears and hear the message today, Lord. But also just remember that you're here for us, Father, that we can go out and we can tell everyone about you and let them know how wonderful you are. Let us go and tell the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go telling on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go telling on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, oh, silence flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to have your richness, Lord. Allow you to work in our lives, Father. Allow our lives to be transformed into you, Lord. Father, and let us remember that night that you were born in the manger. Remember this season, Father, and all the sacrifice you made for us, for we really, truly are rich with your love and your grace and everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is gone, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly host sing alleluia, Christ the Savior. Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beam from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord of thy birth, Jesus, Lord of thy birth. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly
bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the richness you've given us, Lord. We thank you for all you've done in our lives, Father. And as there's sickness that goes around, Father, allow us to be blocked from that sickness. If we're going through anything in our lives, whether it be health, anything that's been the enemy's thrown against us, Father, block that, Lord, and allow us to have victory over it, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We ask a special blessing over this church, the ministry, the pastor, and everyone that's here, and those that could not be here today. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements, if you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin. Tonight is the last night for the Gibsonburg area churches, the drive-through nativity scene over at Zion Lutheran Church off of Brentwood. I was over there last night, and it's just a wonderful time to gather your family together in the car and to drive through and see a reenacted creation account of the birth of Jesus. And so you have more information in your bulletin there about that. Also on Sunday, December the 25th, everyone is invited to a birthday party for Jesus, and that will be here in the fellowship hall from 9:30 to 10:30, and that is during the Sunday school hour. And at this time, I'm going to ask Greg to come forward, and he has another announcement for us here this morning.
So, Christmas Eve service. Two different ones. The 5:30 service, traditional, carols and scripture. 7 o'clock service, it's more contemporary, but it's the candlelight service. If you've came to Christmas Eve in the past, it's going to be more like that. I decided to look up some statistics that may be pertinent to us and why we need to get out there to the people who don't have a church or maybe think they are uninterested in coming to church, but we can persuade them, right? So, 82% of unchurched people are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. 82%. Only 2% of church-going people, those are Christians, invite someone to church in a given year. Only 2%, that is 2 people out of 100. So 2 people in our congregation. I know we work more better than others, but anyway, 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited in their whole lives. 7 out of 10. I was meeting with Max earlier this week, and we were talking, about how many times we've been approached on the street to be invited to church or by someone we knew or had their faith shared to us. And I've never had that happen in my whole life. I've been to a lot of places with a lot of people, and I've never had someone come up to either share their faith or to invite me to church service. Now, we can make a difference if we change that statistic. But we have to go out there and do it. Otherwise, it's not just going to change overnight. So, find someone, invite them to church, and follow up with them. You don't have to be nagging with them, but follow up and make sure that they at least know what's going on. If that happens, we can make a real difference, and I look forward to seeing and holding each and every one of you accountable for bringing someone to church.
Yes, we do have, and you know, basically the thing is it's about wanting what's best for everybody. And by inviting people, as Greg is encouraging us and challenging us to do for Christmas Eve, it's about inviting them to follow Christ as we follow Christ. And so, you know, just what Greg said. There's also cards in your bulletin and more cards on the table in the fellowship hall. If you just go on a passing out frenzy and you know, find all people that need to be here. And friends, they're everywhere. You know, they're everywhere in our community. At this time, I'm going to ask Tina to come forward and Anita to come forward and then Ray to come forward. Over this Advent season, we have been looking at, you know, just some of the victories that we have experienced here at Trinity. Last week, we looked at the love that we share to the kids of the community. And we celebrated the love of God. And this week, we want to show and just think about the hope that we have the opportunity to give to people through various ministries here at Trinity. And I have asked Anita and Tina and Ray, who are integral in various ministries that take place here at Trinity United Methodist Church, to share what goes on and just how it just instills the hope at pivotal times in individuals' lives. So Anita, if you would start. Okay.
I think we're speaking about food today. It appears that way. I think our church is especially blessed. We know that by God's hand, all human beings are fed. Every living creature is fed. And it is through us and the churches and people of faith that are expected to feed people both spiritually and with nutrition. And I think we have a great team to feed spiritually. I especially am enjoying Greg and Nick as they share with us their spiritual commitment, and but we are also obligated to give nutrition where it is needed. And just as we give the spiritual help to people who we don't even know, they are not members of our congregation, we're expected to do just as Greg says. Even if you see someone who needs a little spiritual uplifting, we're expected to do that. And it is the same with nutrition. Doesn't matter if we know people, if you know someone in need, you're expected to give to them out of the bounty that God gives us. And we do have bounty here at Trinity, I can tell you, as we can see through the different ministries here that you'll hear from today. In addition, I don't see Kim and Julie and Larry up here. They make all of our special events really, really special, memorable experiences. I think we all know what they do, and it's wonderful, and we thank you for that. For funerals, from God's bounty, we always have plenty. We call the same people over and over and over again, and every time people come through with food for funeral dinners or whatever dinners that we're having, potlucks, and we do really appreciate that. And I think the most common thing, complaint that I hear about funeral dinners is, you didn't call me, and so I didn't know whether to bring anything. We don't leave anybody out intentionally ever. I know the last two funeral dinners, we just passed the sheets, and I counted the people on the sheets, and then seemed like enough, so I didn't call anybody. And I do that quite frequently, but you're always invited. We don't leave anybody out intentionally for help or anything. You're always invited. God expects us to provide from our bounty to help support the people who are in need spiritually and nutritionally. So, who's next? Tina, or do you want
to? Tina, and what you need to know about this is it's like this. She doesn't care if you're a member of the congregation or not. She's told me before that, look, we are here. It doesn't matter if they're a member of the community or a stranger, a foreigner. If they need a funeral dinner, that's why we're here. Yeah. And we are not going to allow someone in that time where they need hope, friends, in that time of loss, to go by us without taking the opportunity through the funeral dinners to give them hope. And so, you know, it's just a blessing. It's more than just a casserole dish. It's more than, you know, just doing this or making this. It's about providing the hope that Jesus has given to all of us for those who need hope. And so, Tina, if you...
I just wanted to tell you, like Anita said, every time after communion, we pass the benevolence offering around. And I wanted to give you a little bit about when you do that, how many different people you have helped. Pastor talks about the numbers and stuff. And this year we've helped like 5 families with light bills and 2 of them with their water and gas bills. And we've helped with medication, gas cards, 11 people, and a couple grocery cards. And when we collected for the kids for backpacks and school supplies, that was like 15 families and kids that we helped there. When you bring in for the food baskets and toiletry items out there, there's about 40 to 50 families a month that come to the food pantry for food and toiletry items. So every time you put in there or you bring in a food item, a toiletry item, you're not helping just someone in the church, you're helping the whole community. So I just wanted to let you know a little bit about who you help and how many people. We feed on our own. In October and April, we make meals and I pass slips around and some of you come over and help. And there's usually between 20 to 30 people over there and families that you help feed. At Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving time, we pass out baskets, and that can be 50 to 70 families that you help feed at that time also. So I just wanted to let you know that you're all a part of that, and I appreciate it, because without you, we wouldn't have a Trinity Care. So you all are a part in helping with that, and I appreciate it.
What we're talking about up here basically is accepting the call from God. You know, he has such a great plan for each and every one of you. There are people out there that you can reach that the rest of us can't reach. You know, several years ago when Pastor Max asked me a very simple question before we went on a mission trip, and sometimes it is the simple questions that really provoke the deepest thought. He asked the group, he said, to you, what does it mean to be on a mission with Jesus? You know, we're all on fire for the Lord. We all love to serve. But when you really think about it, what it truly means to be on a mission with Jesus, and it took me a long time to think about this and to ponder and for these words to come to my heart, it's to love the unlovable, to help the helpless, to serve those who are marginalized and need your love and to be served. And when we hear these words, you know, we think, how, Lord, how can I do this? How can you use me, Lord, to glorify you, to help the marginalized? You know, we're not the only ones that are in these shoes. Moses came down from the mountain, and he had the law with him. And he found the Israelites in quite a different array down there. And he says, they were asking, well, what's expected of us? And if you won't mind me for reading one little verse here. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, it talks about fearing the Lord. Well, the word fear is also translated to revere the Lord. And he said, now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to revere the Lord your God and to walk in his ways. To love him, to serve the Lord God with all of your heart and your being. And you know, there's so many different ways that we can do this. A simple, gentle gesture, a kind word to somebody. And there's lots of ways that we can reach out and love people in order to help to feed them as well. And if you're wondering the ways that you can tap into the many ministries that this family, we have such a heart to serve the Lord. It has been an incredible time that I've observed and witnessed your witness to those around us for your love for the Lord.
And we need to continue in little ways. If you're looking for a very simple way in which you can get engaged out in the mission field, and that's what this is about, as I said, it's about taking up the mission that God has for each of you. Some of us, your prayer, that's the biggest way. Supporting our food pantries. Participate in going over to Mosaic Ministries is another way. For one of the first ways that I was asking the Lord how he could use me, and one of the first things that was led to was to go over into the city of Toledo. It was then called Western Avenue, as many of you are familiar with. Now they call it Mosaic. The people that I have observed from our family here who have participated, it's an amazing experience, folks. You experience God moving through your love to those marginalized people. The appreciation that they have, the depth of thankfulness that they are offering, you can't feel that sometimes until you're actually there experiencing it. Many of us think that we're secure. We've got our plan. God's working here, and we've got our homes and our jobs, and we've got our money in the bank. But let me share with you, that can all be gone in a moment. It can all be gone, and you could be the very person on the other side of that table. Yeah. I've shared stories. I've heard stories shared from individuals at Mosaic as we feed them about how they were engineers, and they were well-to-do, and they had it all going. Wife got cancer, lost her job. Husband got the H1N1 virus, lost his job. They lost their home, their savings, their 401ks. They were living on the streets with no food. So remember, your sharing, your loving is the way that God is using you to reach those marginalized. And I encourage you, if you want a way that you can start in a very low-level commitment one day, try the Mosaic Ministries, and I know the Lord will bless you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. As I mentioned, you know, this is a practical way that we can give others hope. You know, the scriptures attest that hope is the anchor for our soul. And biblical hope, friends, is not an uncertain thing. It's a confident expectation. And Jesus is our hope. And by meeting the needs through these practical ministries, I mean, I could go into some of the numbers, and I just want to give God a round of applause, because once again, friends, you know, basically God is getting it done, and you are partnering with God in serving him, in reaching those who need hope. And so let's give God a round of applause here this morning. So I've asked Ray and Tina and Anita to light the second of the Advent candles in as we celebrate the hope of Christ. Thank you. Junior dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And may we turn our attention and listen to a reading from God's holy word.
Today's reading will be from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. You can find on the Pew Bibles, page 1821. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him and in accordance with the truth, that is in Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed. If the ushers will now come forward for our tithes and offering.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confine us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies in these hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confine us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies in these hallelujahs be multiplied. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies in these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Thank you for all the many blessings that you so lovingly bestow upon us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning is Communion Sunday. We will be meeting around the Lord's table here in about 10 minutes. I want to take the next 10 minutes and really just give you a thought. Back in the 1980s, there was this focus and this understanding, and it was called the power of positive thinking. Now, what I'm about ready to share with you is it's going to sound a lot like that. However, I don't ascribe to the power of positive thinking. But I will tell you this. The reason that I don't ascribe to that thought process is because the power of positive thinking says this, that you can change your destiny by what you think upon. You can change your life by what you think upon. And friends, I don't believe that. I believe there's one God, and His name is Jesus. There's one Savior, and His name is Jesus. But I will tell you this, that we are going through this Be Rich series. And this morning, we're going to look at the text that was read in a few moments ago, and we are going to find that we can truly be rich in life. But before we get there, I want to share with you some interesting statistics. The American human, or humans around the world, it doesn't matter, wherever you live, scientists have figured that the average amount of thoughts, or the average numbers of thoughts per day that any individual has is in the upwards of 50,000 different individual thoughts. Now let's break that down a little bit. That breaks down to about 2,100 thoughts per hour. It breaks down to 35 thoughts per minute. But where it gets interesting is that the scientists have estimated that anywhere from 70 to 80% of those thoughts are negative. Now let's look at those numbers. So that means that 70%, and actually this is on the low end, because sometimes some scientists have believed that people can actually have up to 70,000 thoughts in a day. It depends on how meditative you are and how contemplative you are and really how fast your mind thinks. But let's take the 50,000 thoughts per day at 70%. That is 35,000 negative thoughts in a day. Per hour, that's 1,470 negative thoughts per hour. Now, where it really gets interesting and really kind of scary for me is when you look at the number of negative thoughts per minute, and that is 24.5 negative thoughts every single minute. And this is where I really want to challenge all of us because, friends, it is true that what we fill our minds with and what we set our minds upon, it will determine what type of life you will have. The Apostle Paul was speaking to this in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And we read that text earlier, but I want to just challenge us in three different aspects. And the first is the quality of your life will always begin in your mind. Let me say that again. The quality of your life. You can muddle through life, and you can just meander through life, and you can have all these negative thoughts, 24 to 25 negative thoughts every single minute. And friends, I'm going to tell you that what your minds capture and what settles in your mind will eventually settle in your actions and settle in your demeanor and settle in your behaviors. You want to change your life. It has less to do with your external circumstances and what is happening to you, and it has more to do with what's going on upstairs. This is why individuals like Corrie Ten Boom, who was in Auschwitz for many years, could really come out of there and say, hey, I am blessed. God is good. Have you ever met somebody like that? Where they've incurred severe difficulty, and they come out of it, and they are saying, God is great. God is good. And you look at them, and you think, how is that possible? Well, how it's possible is because they have made a conscious choice to capture those thoughts in their mind with the true richness of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the Scriptures attest that we have been given the mind of Christ? The Scriptures attest that we have been told that we need to take every thought captive. And I'll say that again, to take every thought captive. That means you are taking those negative thoughts in capturing them with the power of Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross, when He rose from the grave, He gave you the power over your thoughts because you have been united with Him in one spirit, in one mind, in one faith, in one body. You are the body of Christ. And so if you capture those thoughts and you begin, and I'm here to tell you, I can tell you how to do it. Years ago, I was around a pastor, and the church that I was attending, it was a bigger church, and every single time I would say something that was positive, he would look at me and he would say, well, that's positive. And it caused me, it was a head-scratching moment. I was thinking, well, yeah, it's positive. But I didn't realize until being in the ministry, and don't take this the wrong way, I did not realize the amplification of being around people day in, day out, who are negative. When you're around people that have 25 negative thoughts every single minute, and that negativity comes out of their mouth and you're receiving it, you are beginning, and I am beginning, friends, to grab a hold of every single positive thing that I can grab a hold of. A good example of this was last week when we showed the children's ministries. I was sharing about that with an individual, not from this church. And this individual began to say, well, you know that they all have their own church. You know that these kids are just church hopping, going from one vacation Bible school to the next. And I looked at him, I said, that's not the point. The point is what God is doing, because when we get so burdened down with negativity, we look inward and we look at the natural things rather than the eternal things. In a few moments, we're going to meet around the Lord's table. And this is going to give us an opportunity to look at what God has accomplished. And friends, He has accomplished for you and for me to capture that negativity in our minds. Now, this doesn't mean that things won't happen. Things will break down. Your tires will go flat from time to time. Your vehicles will need to be repaired. I get all of that. But you know what? When things happen, there are two ways to respond to it. You can be consumed with the negativity and just add a couple more negative thoughts in your mind for that minute. Or you can say, okay, Lord, what would you have for me in this? And when you go there, friends, then you are beginning to experience a quality of life that you never had. You see, Christians, I don't believe they're any different than the non-believers. And we should be, friends. We are the ones who have the hope. We are the ones that have the joy, the love, the peace. We should be, because we are united with the risen Christ. We are the ones who are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we should be different. And it starts in our mind. And when it begins in our mind, by taking captive all these negative thoughts, at that point, our quality of life changes. Because it's not about what's going on. It's about what Jesus has done. It's about what God has called you to. It's about a bigger thing. It's about something far bigger than what you or I ever will be about. But when we get so consumed and so bogged down in negativity, 35,000 negative thoughts, how on earth can you ever expect to be joyful in that? Every day. Every day. You know, scientists have figured out that your brain actually makes brain patterns, thought patterns, and actually literally creates ruts in your brain. And so you think of a person that has thought 35,000 negative thoughts in their mind for one day, and then it compounds, and it goes to 2 days, and then it goes to 3 days, and then it goes to on, and on, and 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And my goodness, you have this negative thought pattern, this rut in your brain, but there is hope, friends, and the hope is Jesus, and Jesus will create a new thought pattern in your mind if you would only allow Him, if you would only partner with Him. And that's our text this morning. Our text this morning is the quality of life. It begins in the mind. This is the Apostle Paul, and we're going to go real quick because we have communion this morning. Now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. You see, your quality of life, it begins upstairs. It begins in your mind. It's not about being negative. It's not about what's happening to you. The Apostle Paul is penning this from a Roman prison. My goodness. He penned Philippians from a Roman prison. And he says, I count it all joy, friends. The joyous letter, the book of Philippians, he's saying, be joyous. And this guy is chained to a Roman soldier. You see, just the very fact, the quality of your life begins in your mind. Now, the end of the road of the negativity is the Gentiles. And if you're not Jewish, you are a Gentile here, and I am a Gentile here. And the futility of their minds, they're darkened in their understanding. And the way that you capture that darkness is understanding that Jesus is the light. By praising God, by blessing Him, by being thankful and grateful for all the things. I mean, you know, the last couple days I sat in the cold in this building, okay? And I walked in here, and honestly this morning I was praising God because there's a roof over our head. And the wind isn't blowing in our face. There are issues that will happen in life. How we respond to those issues will determine your quality of life. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, because the more that you capture those thoughts with the mind of Christ and take them obedient to the risen God, the risen Christ, then you will begin to break free and you will begin to experience a quality that you never thought you could experience. And so the quality of our life, it begins in our mind. The second thing is the quality of life is grown as we learn Christ. If we could go on here. You did not so learn Christ. We could stop right there. You didn't learn Jesus that way, did you? You didn't learn Jesus as being negative, did you? No. Jesus is positive. He's the truth. He's the light. He's the life of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you didn't learn him that way. I didn't learn him that way. And yet we buy into the way of the world, the negativity, and there always is never enough things in this world to satisfy this world. And that's why we get negative friends. It's always about more. It's production. It's doing this and going here. And we can't satisfy it. Well, the truth of the matter is this. We didn't learn Jesus that way, because Jesus satisfied what we couldn't satisfy. And that was being righteous before God. And so when our jobs, our occupations get negative on us, and then we don't have time to give hope to people who are hopeless at that time, and we say, I don't have anything else to give, we need to learn Jesus, and we need to grasp him and understand that Jesus, when he had nothing left, he gave more. See, sometimes what goes on up here, it reflects what happened here. And we need to understand we did not learn Jesus that way, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. The quality of our life is grown as we learn Christ. You know, in John 17, Jesus prayed the prayer, and he said this in the prayer. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify means to set them apart, meaning quit being part of the world and be set apart for God's use. And then he says, your word, O God, is truth. And so the more times that we are in God's word, the more times we're in Bible studies, the more times we're rubbing shoulders with fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus, and they're exhorting us and encouraging us, the more times we are refuting the negativity that is being constantly assaulting us each and every day. The quality of your life is only grown as you learn Jesus. And if you're here today, and if you're not in your word every day, get in your word. Every time you have a negative thought, get in your word. Turn to the Psalms. Get in your word. If you're here and you're in your word and you're still struggling, get in a Bible study. And if you're here and you're in your word and you're in a Bible study, then begin to serve, because you need to begin to look up and stop looking in, because negativity is bred when we look in. When we look up, we see the eternal of eternities. We see the heavenlies. We see God, the risen Christ. And it's not that we learn Jesus that way. And that's the very reason why many people, when they come to Christ, when they receive Jesus, they're on fire. Because they know what Jesus did for them. And it's the same reason why when people sit in a church pew for 10s and 20s and 30 years, that their light grows dim. Because they lost it. They lost the passion. And the Apostle Paul says, you didn't learn Jesus that way, because Jesus is the truth, he's the way, and he's the life. So your quality of life begins in your mind, and it's grown as we learn Christ. And lastly, the quality of life is shown through your choices. Now you and I, we can choose. We can choose. We can choose to buy into that negativity, or we can choose to take it captive unto obedience to Jesus Christ every single day. And this is the Apostle Paul. He says, put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life. And that's the negativity. Get rid of it. Put it off. Get rid of it. Be done with it. And it's corrupt. But he says, don't stop there. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new nature. And it's not any new nature, friends. It's a new nature that is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you realize in a few moments we're going to meet around the Lord's table? We're going to take part in the bread and the cup. And what that signifies is as we ingest those elements, we are signifying that we have been adopted into God's family. We are part of God's family as we ingest those elements. We are part of God's body, the body of Christ, His family. And because of that, He has created us in true righteousness in Jesus and holiness in Jesus. But it's our choice, friends. It's our choice. Just like we all have a choice to approach the table and take part in communion or to stay seated. It's our choice every single time a negative thought impedes our mind to say, I'm going to buy into that thought, or I'm going to open up the scriptures and I'm going to say, no, the truth of the matter is that the righteousness of Christ has been accredited to my account and He has made me acceptable within sight of a holy God. And so friends, being rich in life, it's up here. It's right here. That's the very reason why individuals can go through some horrible difficulties and come out and praise God. And other individuals can go through those very similar difficulties and come out and be bitter. That's the difference. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be rich in the quality of life. And He wants that for you so bad that He sent Jesus to die on the cross that you, through His death, might live if you would only receive the free gift. And friends, it's not a one-time free gift. You see, a gift isn't a gift unless it's received. It's a daily gift. It's a daily renewing of your mind. It's a daily accepting of God through Christ's gift for you and for me. And so as we begin to thank God for the hope that He has given to us, may we understand it begins in our mind, the quality of life. It is grown through our learning of Jesus, and it's shown through our choices. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your peace. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this truth that You have called us to renew our minds. Father, You know where we're at. You know where our minds have been. You know the struggles that we entertain each day. And Lord, we pray that You would give us the courage to take captive all those negative thoughts and make them to obey Jesus. Because we have been united with You, O Christ. We have been united with You. You have given us Your mind, the mind of life, the mind of truth, and the mind of hope. We thank You, O Lord. We bless You now, and we sing praises unto Your holy name. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. We do pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to take part in Holy Communion. If you're visiting here with us, we have an open communion table. We invite that you would just come. As long as you profess and believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, may you come down the center aisle. You'll be given a piece of bread. You'll take that bread and you will dip it in the juice, and then you'll partake right here, and then you can depart on either side. And so may we just give thanks over the elements of the bread and the cup. Oh, gracious God, we bless You for communion. We thank You for the remembrance that it causes all of us to have. We thank You, Jesus, for the sacrifice that You have given for us, that we might truly, truly be rich in life. May it begin in our minds. May it be grown through our relationship with You, and may it be shown through the choices that You have given to us. We pray that You would bless the bread and bless the cup, and may You be given all the glory, for You and You alone are worthy. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, broken. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of Me." Then likewise, Jesus then took the cup and He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Take, drink, do this in the remembrance of me. As the Spirit leads, may you all come and partake as God leads you to meet around his table.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. I will rise from waters deep to the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Jesus died and rose again. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
As we close this time of praise and worship, if you would please stand, and we just want to invite anyone who needs prayer. We believe that the scripture is true, that if any are sick or ill here, to come and allow those who are here to anoint you with prayer. And as with that, we have a request to lift up little Easton, Julian Jared Seif's little guy. He's been in the hospital the last couple days, and so keep him in prayer. And if you yourself need prayer, we have individuals that would love to anoint you and pray with you during this closing song.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. show my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, show my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
As we close here this morning, if we would, out of respect for everybody up here, to just depart quietly. And as we go, may we remember that you and I, we are the hope of Christ to those that we come across. May you bless them. May you provide hope when they're hopeless. May you grant them peace that only comes from Jesus. And may the love that God has poured in your hearts by the Holy Spirit be poured into them. We bless you and we praise you. And in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I be agents of hope today. Amen.